Hey everyone, thank you for joining me for episode 4 of Future Show, the twice weekly talk show about the future with Jonathan Myers, that's me, and my guests. Today's guest is my very cool wife, Melissa Carmen, and we are going to talk about billionaire college, robot professors, the future of history, the ephemeral nature of digital things, the battle of Hastings of all things, and an endless dessert buffet of online learning. Let's do it. Great. This is very special. Melissa, you are an educated person, also with an interest in academia and whatnot. What do you see as, when you think about the future of learning and education, maybe even, I don't know, particularly higher level education, what do you see? Because what I see is a failing business model.
Zing. Yeah. I mean, so this is like a really, really hot topic right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, academic circles are this is the burning question. And this is so controversial. Mm-hmm. So
lay it out.
Well, all right. So I'm not in those academic circles.
Oh.
Not personally. So I'm not going to say a whole lot of things that I don't know enough about.
Okay.
But what I will say is this issue of video is changing everything. And also the way that we disseminate information, right? Because it doesn't have to just be video. It can be a podcast like what we're doing, which, I mean, I could be professing and...
Go ahead.
You know, the thing that cues up in my mind is this scene from Alice in Wonderland when the older sister is like... Edwin and Norcal, the earls of Mercia and Northumbria, declared for him. Anyway, it goes on. But that's the stock lecture that I have only heard the first three sentences of.
I like
of,
that you have a lecture queued up in your mind.
It's just what I associated. But so the way that we disseminate information, there's such a controversy over what is the value of the professor. Mm-hmm. Physically being in front of the students in the classroom.
Like, do you think that we could have robot professors?
You know, I would not love that. So I'm actually an advocate of traditional education.
Like to have human beings in a physical space together.
Yeah, and I think the thing that saddens me somewhat is that I feel like that is going to become more and more of a luxury. Like, I think it is by far.
Oh, so you think that it, like, there still might be traditionalist-ish university stuff with, like, a professor and a room full of students, but all of those students might be billionaires.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you could pay for the experience of a personalized tutor, basically. Someone who can respond to you in real time. And shape their content according to
robot the professor situation. Can respond to you in real time.
Yes, with smart text.
Yeah.
That's where I want you to generate a lecture.
Okay. Hello, students. You've been doing fairly to really well. Yeah. Congratulations. Yeah. You're all worthy of encouragement.
Yeah, exactly. The fairly to really well. That's just that's fantastic.
Perhaps you could stand a bit more time studying the book.
Yeah. Mm. So it's a shifting field.
Okay.
Things are everything's changing. Mm-hmm. Publishing's changing.
What do you want to see?
You know, I want to see everyone learning, being able to make sense of that information, really appreciate what it can do for them, and feel like they can integrate it and apply it.
All right.
I mean, isn't that the dream?
Well, but do you really think that we can't do that with robots? Robots are getting so smart. How about this? Okay, we have a robot who, like, listens to and looks at a gajillion hours of video on professing.
Yeah, okay.
And then they begin, here's professor.
So, okay, so I'm out of my league here, but I'm just saying. So with AI... Mm-hmm. There is some element of human input programming this stuff.
Okay.
And I'm just wondering, like, I know that that gets very sophisticated, but I mean, well, I guess here we're dealing with all of the problems that AI is rife with anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess you made a song about it, right? Like, there's nothing like a human.
There's nothing like a human. I wrote a song about humans and robots, and you can find it, maybe, I don't know, if SoundCloud's going down, it's going down, but, at the time of this recording, you can find it at soundcloud.com/Jonathan Andrew Myers if you're interested in listening to it. It's called There's Nothing Like a Human.
It's pretty fantastic cultural commentary.
I heard it was as good as they might be, or not as good, but that it was, they might be giants-esque. So yeah. Take that.
I think that's fair. In the best way.
In the best way.
Because I really like They Might Be Giants.
They're good.
They have clever things that they...
I really like their song, Birdhouse in Your Soul. Mm. There's something that's mysteriously catchy about it. Like, it's a catchy song, but it also, like, jumps around with different parts and stuff like that, but it still has, I don't know, it's a very interesting, they do interesting stuff.
They do. Do you want to venture a guess as to, well, maybe we shouldn't venture a guess.
As to what your favorite They Might Be Giants song is? I'm going to guess it's Constantinople.
It is. No, and that's a cover, truthfully.
That's true. That's
which
true.
I was shocked to find out.
It's a pretty faithful cover, in fact.
I know. They did it. They did a really, no, I'm kidding. Really good job. So you said SoundCloud might be going down?
Oh, yeah. They lost 40-some million dollars in their last quarter or something like that. And so I don't know. I don't know, like, how their business works or whatever. Like, maybe that's a normal quarter. Who knows, you know?
Dang.
And it's just, like, now getting media attention or something like that. Hmm. But, yeah. Maybe we could talk about that. Like, the future of music, of audio media, because there are so many websites are here today and gone tomorrow. Like, Ardio is gone.
What a heartache. What I'm so sorry.
A heartache.
Man. Yeah.
And there's just a few, you know, Launch. Do you remember Launch? Did you ever see Launch?
It's not really cueing anything, but I know that name from, like, another time.
Yeah. In the late 90s, early 2000s, they had music videos. Like, you could watch a Kiss Me Under the Beet Barley in, like, this super, like, 100 by 50 pixel window. And it's, like, super, like, having a tough time buffering. But that was a music video.
Totally.
On the internet, launch.com, and that's gone. You know, or at least it's so obscure and irrelevant. They probably get like 20 hits a year or something. Like, I don't know. Launch.com. I really appreciate the work that you did in pioneering that, in pioneering having music videos on the internet. That was a great service.
It really was.
And if you're not there anymore, I'm really sorry.
We should look into it. You know, it's funny to feel sadness over the disappearance of a website.
It that's legitimate, yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah. Because
I feel that. I mean, with Ardio, it's like there's this void. Or even, so I was researching Evernote the other day for other purposes of like an ongoing ideologue kind of a thing. And I was looking into their spinoff apps. And it was so sad. So the spinoff apps were recommended in the lynda.com video.
Oh.
And then they didn't exist.
They
and
don't exist
I was
anymore.
Reading through these comments of people being like, Evernote food, you know, how could you do this? You're all I've ever used for this. Like, there's nowhere to go.
You mean to record what I
had
at
oddly
some
enough,
restaurant?
So, okay, what? We're going like a little deep on Evernote food, but
that's fine.
I've never
that's
used it.
That's what we're here for.
But I was reading through these sad, you know, eulogistic comments. And it was saying, you know, I never used Evernote food for recipe collection, but I used it for restaurant reviews because for some reason it was really well suited to that.
Hmm. Wait, so like for their own personal, not for sharing restaurant reviews.
I don't know.
Can you share stuff on Evernote?
Yeah. Evernote makes it easy to share things. So Not having used Evernote food, I couldn't say. But it is interesting to feel a void when something like that disappears.
Yeah.
Which interestingly kind of goes back around to the education issue.
Okay.
So information disappearing.
Oh, yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think about that?
What will we even have to educate ourselves on in the future except for how to use the latest tools or something like that, or like internet things, or learn how to order artificial intelligent food or something like that. Like, we don't even care about the Battle of Hastings.
Right? Give me Evernote food.
Give me Evernote food. I want to learn how to use Evernote food. I want to learn pro tip. I want a bachelor's degree in Evernote food pro tips instead of learning about the Battle of Hastings. I should really learn the Battle of Hastings.
Yeah.
Because I, in fact, as an... I'm not going to say undereducated, but I will say... Well, I don't know. Hey... listeners, if you can tell me about the Battle of Hastings, I would love a refresher on the Battle of Hastings.
Oh, man. And bonus points, if you didn't go look it up on our system here, but if you actually remember something from your education about this, besides the title, like, that would be cool to hear.
Yeah.
So information disappears.
Right.
Which is so interesting.
Will we even have anything to remember in the future?
Well, okay, so tell me what you're thinking
about. Oh, okay. That. Well, do we even need to remember anything in the future since our computers remember everything for us? I don't need to know about the Battle of Hastings because I can just look it up on the computer and I trust that it will be there and that it will be accurate information about the Battle of Hastings.
Yeah, which is an issue.
And hopefully it doesn't get thwarted by some band called the Battle of Hastings or I was going to say a cartoon show, but that's silly. But some pop culture thing called the Battle of Hastings.
Like Amazon.
Look up Amazon, you guys. It's a jungle in South America.
Or whenever they come up with, like, some new computer programming language.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, like, the thing, like, some random thing.
Right, because the internet favors internet-esque things.
Yeah.
Instead of in-real-life things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I mean... yeah.
Melissa, business idea. Okay. What is the business idea? It is... having a repository of human history that is accurate. I understand that this might be the goal of Wikipedia. but, you know, something where, oh, man, or just like a giant archive of actual books.
Almost like a seed repository.
What if you could borrow books from a million miles away?
That reminds me of something I heard not too long ago.
Not too long ago. sorry, you were saying.
A seed repository. So like there are seed vaults.
Seed vaults, yes.
Where they save all of the seeds of the world.
Right. Will somebody get a grant to record... to capture every single book that man has written.
Isn't like
that humans have written.
Google Books doing that, kind of. Like oh, everything are they? Out of
good
print.
For them.
So but here's the thing. So this is interesting, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there are a lot of different initiatives. So you've got like different things with Google Books, you've got different things with I don't know how to say it, HathiTrust.
Oh. You know your stuff.
Kinda, except for I don't know how to say it. to sound like a total, you know, totally ignorant to someone who actually knows how to say it. So if you know how to say it, let me know. That would be great. then I will know. But anyway, so there are these initiatives that are digitally capturing old public domain, especially. I mean, so you get a lot of rare, weird out-of-print books that you'd either have to track down through WorldCat or like pay hundreds of dollars to get a copy on eBay or something. WorldCat's a The database of the library's...
World catalog. WorldCat.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
And so it has, like, all of the books that are out and about in libraries, even weird things.
There are so many books, though.
Yeah.
There are so many books, because books used to be the form of entertainment. So there's, like, a bunch of, like, goofy... Like, for every, like, goofy little TV show that there's been, you know, that we don't even know about, like, oh, there was some, like... show in 1974 that aired like three episodes that nobody knows about, but it still exists in some vault somewhere. And in the same way, there are these weird books like Thomas Kramer's children's entertainment book or something like that, that kids probably used to like flip through all the time because it has just like funny little stuff in it, but it's a hardbound book. It's a legit book. And there are so many of those books still in existence, or I mean, you know, like they're old out of print books, and it would be great to, I don't know. Does it even matter?
Well, here's the thing.
Because who cares?
Right. Exactly. And that's the thing. It's precisely what troubles me. So we have these great initiatives to digitize
these
books.
Sorry, I'm having a revelation about the fate of this podcast.
Do tell.
Oh, that it's going to be
it's one of those books
on some shelf in someone. Yeah. Yeah, this is one of those books.
So, okay.
So important right now.
We're digitizing books, which is great, and I love it, and I benefit from it a lot. But again, like this, the ephemeral nature of digital things. I mean, that's controversial also, I think, to say that it's so ephemeral. But I think it is in a way. Like,
oh, sure.
You got to really kind of get rid of a material object to get rid of it. I mean, you got to like burn it, tear it up into pieces.
Oh, I see.
Go
like
bury
the
it.
Thomas Kramer's children's entertainment book, you have to destroy the physical book, otherwise it will be around.
It still exists somewhere. Yeah.
But digital material is
right
so easily disappeared.
Right.
Although the good folks at archive.org are doing their darndest to
And I mean, like, things are in some ways digital material, like your tweets. You know, there's those articles out there that say like your immortal online life. Like, it's hard to get rid of it when you want to get rid of it too. I mean,
there's sort of like a two-sided coin here.
But I guess what I'm thinking is a lot of people are tossing out old books because, like, who cares? We can look up everything we need to find on the internet.
Yeah. Who needs books?
Except for when you can't.
Which
is really interesting. Well, I bumped up into this. In my research.
Well, you don't have electricity or something, or what?
Well, it's so funny. So there are different fields, I think, where people will resonate with this. But when you start to go really deep into a topic, it's shocking what is not digitized. Oh. And all of a sudden you find yourself needing...
Oh, it's almost like you reach... like you keep seeing the same stuff cited over and over and over again. And so you're like, wait, where's the deeper research or whatever that I'm looking up? Almost like in farming, the plow has, like, there's areas where the plow has created this hard bottom of like 6 inches down or like 18 inches down under the ground. There is just this layer of hard packed dirt that will take so much more effort to dig into, and on doing online research is kind of a similar thing because where is everything?
Yeah, totally.
You know, or like you have to dig even harder and like look up more obscure things and find those websites that have actually done the deeper digging.
Yeah, totally.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah. Or even physically travel. I mean, this is such a wild
thing.
That
sounds fun.
Yeah, to actually
go. Let's go to Italy and do our own research or something like that.
So one thing I'll say that is really great for the digitization of things, since you brought up Italy, is languages. Because in some ways, it helps to cross the divide. In other ways...
No, how's that?
Well, because you can translate
Because everybody
things.
Speaks English now.
Or, like, certain Italian websites will have that nice little British flag in the corner that's like, here's the English version, yeah. you know. And so you can read articles. And
no, that's true. Yeah, okay. Yeah,
it helps a lot. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there are times when I'm looking for a book that only came out in French. And, like, maybe it has illustrations that didn't get digitized when they digitized it. Mm. That I need, you know?
Yeah.
And so then trying to find it. Oh, I don't know if you want this to get more dour.
Whoa. Dour it up.
So, libraries.
Libraries.
Because things are getting digitized, they're not stocking the print books. And then they do fantastic things, being like, we're part of a library network. You have access to millions of materials. Oh. But because each library has its own set of permissions,
yeah,
you can't access the digitized materials that library has an agreement with or a subscription to. So I run into that a fair amount as well.
That's a really interesting thing. That's almost like the thing that libraries are wanting to stock things that will get checked out, I'm sure, right?
Yeah.
Or that it's not the goal of a library to have the most obscure books. Like, it's still going to be keeping up to date with what is currently popular.
Mm-hmm. The public library.
Right.
Because different libraries have different aims, right?
So we could totally have an obscure library. Okay, so how many businesses do you have so far? Oh, I guess it would be the same.
It'd have company. To be, we'd have to that, get a grant, maybe. Just,
yeah, we need a grant for like probably $1 billion.
Just to be on the safe side.
I think, no, think about like to catalog all of the books.
We get interns to catalog. Right?
We still might need $1 billion.
Just for those rare manuscripts.
Yeah, well, we'll need to buy rare manuscripts, right. You know, that like there's two copies in existence.
We need to buy them all.
So-and-so's got them and the other person's got them. And both of them want like $500 million for the book.
And they're actually in cahoots. So yeah. They're bidding us up against each other.
Oh, nice. Smart people. That's how they got so wealthy. They know what they're doing. Great.
Well, okay, so I want to know what your thoughts are on this, Jonathan. So you have a totally different perspective.
Whoa.
On learning, right? And like digitization, the digital revolution.
Is there a revolution going?
Well, I think it already happened.
Oh, okay.
Well, maybe it's not a revolution. Maybe it's an evolution.
The digital evolution.
I don't know.
This summer. I'm sorry.
Coming soon.
Yeah. The digital evolution. I don't know. What? Oh, digital learning. Yeah. Okay. I love Coursera.com.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I need to take a drink of water. Coursera.com. Will you spell it for them?
Coursera.com.
.com. Course as in a college course. Era as in a new era. In online learning. Join us. The top universities have put together little sample classes that are so much fun to take. I took one from that was put out by Berkeley about we took one together, Melissa, on ear training. It was great.
That was awesome.
We can name our major intervals now. Hit it with us. Boom boom.
No, that was,
I think that's
really
a
great.
Seventh. I think that's a major seventh. Or a seventh? Is it major seventh or just seventh? I think it's seventh. Just a seventh. Boy, I am really sorry, Berkeley and Coursera, that I'm making you look so bad.
No, okay, so they teach you like really great tricks, right? Like the fifth, I think, is like happy birthday or something.
Yeah.
Which also hopefully I'm not wrong. Gosh, that'd be sad about
happy birthday. I don't think happy birthday was in it. The fifth
happy
is
birthday.
Just no. I think fifth was Twinkle Twinkle Little Star.
Oh, you're right.
Twinkle Twinkle.
And was it the? What was the fourth? Was that
the fourth
walking
was
me
the,
down
the
aisle?
The wedding march.
Yeah.
Boom ba 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 boom ba boom ba boom ba boom.
Okay, so we learned some things.
Boom ba boom ba boom ba boom ba boom ba.
Bum bum ba da 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 da.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, those.
So,
that
but
fun.
Also, so music production was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we took that. That was fun, too.
But also, songwriting, I would say, was like 10 for 10. That
songwriting was great. It's taught by Pat Pattison. It was a great class. I learned a lot, and I even have a thing I made of a visual thing of his. Oh man, he taught principles in his class. I turned it into my own little poster there.
And actually, so I felt like there was advice in there for creative writers and poets about sonic structures.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
In songs, but it's applicable to poetry.
Coursera,
that were killer.
Give us some money. Send Future Show some sponsor cash.
It was great. So I'm glad you brought up Coursera. Not like in a, like, here, take two of these kind of, kind of way. But like, I think that the amount of education available to people online is almost like, for someone who loves to learn, it's like having a lifetime supply of desserts. Like, it's just fantastic.
Yeah.
It's almost too much.
It is too much. It's too much for a person who spends more time finessing their Netflix queue rather than actually watching a single show.
So this is an interesting thing with the education piece. So something that I've thought about is that there are all of these phenomenal offerings that are really worthwhile for people's time. So some people are like, well, you don't really need to go to college anymore or whatever. And I get that. Like, there's pretty much everything you want to know in a lot of disciplines where it's not hands-on. You can learn on the internet. But trying to make sense out of it in a cohesive way, I think, is still difficult.
Yeah.
Like, maybe we need classes on how to. I'm sure they're out there. I'm sure they're there.
Like, super meta classes?
Yeah, like meta.
How to learn on the internet.
Yeah, but who wants to look at that? Since all of the internet learning is voluntary?
So you think that we should have public schools force everyone to learn online? This is getting better and better.
I think that's an interesting component.
Yeah.
That it is voluntary.
Right.
Hence the problems endemic to MOOCs, right?
MOOC stands for Massively Online Educational Conference. I don't know what it stands for. What does it stand for?
I think that's...
No, I didn't say anything.
I don't know for sure. I think it's
gibberish.
Like mass something. I don't know either.
Massively Online Organized College.
Ooh, I wanted to finish that sentence with crime.
Oh.
We could have a crime MOOC.
Yeah. Melissa, thanks for being on my show.
You're welcome.
I hope you'll come back. I would love to have you on the show again.
Well, I'm certainly your devoted fan, so I'll be listening in until then.
Thanks, Melissa. Liz.
It's about that crime MOOC.
Hey, that's it for this episode of Future Show. Thanks very much for listening. Thank you also, Melissa Carman, for being my guest. You can find her on Twitter at Melissa Carman, CARMON. Hey, I would love to hear from you, so feel free to communicate with me on Twitter at Future Show Show. Also, the website to find past episodes is futureshowpodcast.com. That's a good time. Also, you can find episodes of Future Show on iTunes and other respectable purveyors of podcasts. And if you happen to enjoy the show, I would be most grateful if you would leave a review, because it really helps out the show. Thank you very much. And just remember, the future can happen at any moment.